So today is we have many special days, special persons that appeared today. So before we do the verse, I can read something, or should we do this after the verse? Before the verse. Okay, here it says before the verse. We'll do before the verse. So, one mistake in the morning, it's not Vishakha Priya, it's Vishnu Priya appearance today. So I'll read something about her. The Supreme Lord has three different internal shaktis, potencies: Shri, Bhu, and Leela. Bhu Shakti appeared as Shrimati Vishnu Priya Devi in Gauraliya Leela to assist Sri Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. King Satyajit, the father of Satyabhama in Krishna Leela, appeared in Gauranga Leela as the Brahman Sanatan Mishra, Vishnu Priya Devi's father. Shrimati Vishnu Priya Devi overflowed with all good qualities. Her beauty surpassed the goddess of fortune. She was devoted to her parents and dutifully followed scriptural injunctions. Regularly she worshipped Tulsi Devi and observed vows of austerity such as bathing thrice daily in the Ganges, three times a day. Whenever she met Sachimata at the Ganges, Vishnupriya would humbly bow down at her feet. Sachi Devi often thought that chaste, beautiful Vishnupriya would make an ideal bride for her son, Nimai. After Lakshmi Priya Devi, Lord Chaitanya's first wife, died in separation from the Lord, Nimai Pandit married Srimati Vishnupriya Devi. Chaitanya Mangal and Chaitanya Bhagavat give elaborate descriptions of this most auspicious wedding. Budhimanta Khan, a rich landowner, bore all expenses of the opulent royal wedding of the divine couple Vishnu Priya and Sri Nimai Pandit. All the people of Navadvip and the neighboring villages came to the wedding. Shishi Radha Rasa Bihara Tijaya. During the ceremony, all eyes were on the divine couple as if to devour the matchless beauty of Vishnu Priya and Nimai Pandit. The Vaishnava sang Hari's glories. The Brahmanas made a circle around the Lord and chanted the Vedas. A sea of joy flooded in four directions. Those who didn't drown simply floated in bliss. Besides the wedding, Vrindavan Das Thakur doesn't elaborate about Vishnu Priya's pastimes. In Chaitanya Mangal, Lochan Das Thakur tells pastimes not mentioned elsewhere. He narrates the especially touching last conversation Lord Gauranga had with Vishnu Priya Devi the night before he took sannyas. In a voice choked with emotion, Vishnu Priya said, "Tell me, O Prananath, Lord of my life, is it true, the rumor I heard, that you will take sannyas and leave me? If I lose your association, I might as well end my life by drinking poison." Responding with gentle, compassionate words, Sri Gaura Roy said, "Vishnu Priya, you are as dear to me as life itself. There is no need to worry. Please hear what I am about to say, for it will help you. The only truth in this world is Bhagavan and the Vaishnavas. Everything else is illusion. Everything else is illusion. Bhagavan and the Vaishnavas. Fathers, mothers, children, relationships between men and women are all illusory. Krishna is the master, the real husband of everyone. Don't lament. Don't worry. Your name is Vishnu Priya. Therefore, fulfill the real meaning of Vishnu Priya and always think of Krishna within your heart." Then Sri Gauranga showed his four-armed form, which helped Vishnu Priya understand his absolute position. Seeing this vanquished Vishnupriya's grief and pain, she felt blissful. This vision and Mahaprabhu's instructions removed her bewilderment, but she kept the mentality of taking the Lord as her husband. Sobbing and falling at Lord Gauranga's feet, she said, "I beg you to accept my humble submission. You are the most dear Lord of my life, my only wealth. Without you, without your service, I have nothing." Lord Gauranga embraced Vishnupriya with his eyes. He gave her mercy with these words, "I shall travel here and there, but wherever I go, I shall always remain at your place." Understanding the supremely independent nature of Lord Gaura, Vishnupriya said, "You must do what makes you happy, my Lord. Let no one be an obstacle to your divine mission." That's from the Chaitanya Mangal. After Sri Nimai Pandit left Navadvip, Vishnupriya adopted an austere and devoted life. She became as thin as the crescent moon before Amavasya, the dark moon. Following a rigid sadhana spiritual practice, she set aside one grain of rice for every round of the Hare Krishna mantra she would chant. Every round she would separate one grain of rice. In the evening, Vishnupriya Devi cooked those grains, offered them to her personal deity of Mahaprabhu, and honored the remnants. Known today as Dameshwara Mahaprabhu, Vishnupriya's gorgeous deity of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu resides in Navadvip city. Sriman Mahaprabhu receives regular worship and gives unlimited mercy. Sri Vishnupriya Devi Ki Jai. After the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, many of the great devotees, Janava Mata was present, Sita Thakurani, and Vishnupriya. So three of them were like the acharyas for our line at that time. So great, great devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Today is his also disappearance. Disappearance, Vishwanath Chakravarti. Appearing in 1638, Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his name before was Hari Ballabha Das, came in the disciplic succession from Sri Narottam Das Thakur. Vishwanath took Diksha from Sri Radha Raman Chakravarti. Although married, Vishwanath was indifferent and soon renounced family life. He came to Vrindavan Dham and did Krishna Bhajan at Radha Kund. He was known as the crest jewel of the Vaishnavas because of his pure devotion, scholarship, and realized perception of Radha Gokulananda's intimate conjugal pastimes. Gaudiya authorities say that Sri Rupa Goswami is Vag Devavatar, an incarnation of the god of speech. And Gaudiya Acharyas, especially among his direct disciples, believe that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is an incarnation of Sri Rupa Goswami. Among all Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, only Vishwanath Chakravarti comes close to matching Srila Rupa Goswami's profound realizations on the absolute truth. Vishwanath Chakravarti's name itself implies his position. Vishwanath means he who reveals the jewel of devotion to Vishwanath, Sri Krishna, the Lord of the universe. Chakravarti means he who expands the chakra, circle of bhakti. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, "Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was the protector, guardian, and acharya during the middle period, 1600 to 1700, of the historical development of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The growth of Gaudiya Vaishnavism began with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was later rejuvenated by Srila Thakur Bhakti Vinod, spread by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and broadcast all over the world by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder acharya of ISKCON. During his stay in Vrindavan, Vishwanath worshipped deities of Radha Gokulananda and Sri Giriraj. His Govardhan Shila was first worshipped by Lord Chaitanya, then Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj, Sri Mukunda Das, Srimati Krishna Priya Thakurani, and Vishwanath Chakravarti. Today this Giriraj Govardhan deity resides in the Radha Gokulananda temple in Vrindavan. Some claim the Govardhan Shila is in Bhagavat Nivas in Ramanreti near the ISKCON Krishna Balaram Mandir. In a dream, Lord Sri Krishna ordered Vishwanath to make commentaries on the Goswami's books. Immediately started writing prolifically. Clouds would shield him from the sun whenever he sat to write. Once a torrential downpour flooded the area where Vishwanath was writing his Bhagavad commentaries. Miraculously, not a drop touched Vishwanath or his Bhagavad manuscript. While compiling Mantrartha Deepika, which is an explanation on the Kama Gayatri, Vishwanath became perplexed. According to his exhaustive research, which indicated 25, he couldn't substantiate why Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Kama Gayatri contains 24 and one-half syllables, and that these syllables correspond to the 24 and one-half moons present on Krishna's transcendental body. In a dream, Srimati Radhika instructed Vishwanath, "O Vishwanath, please don't lament anymore. What Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote is true. He is also my confidential maidservant, and he knows everything about my most secret innermost moods. This Kama Gayatri is the mantra for worshipping me. Indeed, I can be known by the syllables of this mantra. Without my mercy, no one can learn anything about the mystery of this mantra," which is the last mantra, the Gayatri mantra. The solution to the half syllable is found in the book Varnaghama Bashvadi. Seeing this book, Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote as he did. The letter Ya, which is followed by the letter V, as in the words Kama Devaya Vitmahe, is considered to be a half syllable. This falls on Krishna's forehead because his forehead is shaped like the halo of a half moon. All the other letters of the mantra are full syllables and therefore full moons. Now wake up, check that book, and compile this evidence for everyone's benefit. Instantly awakening, Vishwanath cried out in ecstasy, "Hey Radhe, hey Radhe, hey Radhe!" Having Radharani's darshan infused Vishwanath Chakravarti's writing with divine shakti, he felt that he had been accepted as one of Srimati Radharani's confidential maidservants. His writings reflected this realization. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote over 40 Sanskrit books on the science of pure devotion to Radha Giridhari. He also made the sweetest, most highly realized Rasikatikas, commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the works of Srila Rupa Goswami, Kavi Karnapur, and Narottam Das Thakur. He wrote Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita, Madhurya Kandambani, Braja Riti Kanchintamani, Chamatkara Chandrika, Swapna Vilasamrita, Sankalpa Kalpa Dhruma, and others. The life and teachings of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad give happiness, inspiration, and transcendental wisdom to the entire Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. We sincerely pray that after thousands of births, we will someday qualify to become a particle of dust under the shade of his lotus feet. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad Ki Jai. In Krishna Lila, he serves Srimati Radhika as Vinod Ballari Manjari. His samadhi is in the Radha Gokulananda temple courtyard in Vrindavan, and anyone can go and visit there. Take darshan of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and take some, get his mercy. Continuing, so many appearances. Today is the appearance of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, a disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was Sri Gadadhar Pandit's guru and an intimate friend of Swarup Damodar. Once in Jagannath Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi met Swarup Damodar after a long separation. Everyone know who Swarup Damodar is? Secretary, personal secretary, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once in Jagannath Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi met Swarup Damodar after a long separation. In a joyful mood of friendship, Pundarik and Swarup wanted to take the dust from each other's feet. A scuffle began as they tried to simultaneously catch the feet one of the other, but at the same time avoid having their own feet caught. Both being quite strong, neither won. But Sri Gauranga enjoyed their sport, so Lord Chaitanya was watching them do this. So he enjoyed this supporting play, and everyone laughed. Sometimes brahmacharis do this, devotees also do this pastime, looking, trying to get the dust from the lotus feet. Pundarik Vidyanidhi has other names: Sri Vidyanidhi, Acharyanidhi, Bhaktyanidhi, and Premanidhi. Premanidhi, that name was given to him by Lord Chaitanya. Simply by hearing his name, said Sri Gaura, the whole world becomes purified. Just by hearing his name. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Premanidhi. Premanidhi's pure devotion caused Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to sometimes cry profusely and call out loudly, "Bop!" Bop means father. Bop. Pundarik. Pundarik is my father. My dearest friend, dearmost friend. When will I see him again? Pundarik Vidyanidhi is King Britabhanu, Sri Radha's father in Vrindavan Leela. That's why he called him father. Bop. Bop. Pundarik. Pundarik is my father. My dearmost friend. Continually floating in the sea of Krishna Prem, Pundarik often showed ecstatic bodily symptoms of tears, haripilation, falling unconscious. Whoever recites or hears the following narration of the meeting of Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Sri Gadadhar Pandit will receive the treasure of love of God. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Do you want to hear this? Yeah? But you have to be careful, you will receive the treasure of love of God. Who wants to receive the treasure of love of God? Anyone? Oh. Who doesn't want to? No. When he first arrived in Navadvip, Pundarik Vidyanidhi disguised himself as a worldly sense enjoyer. Besides Mukunda, nobody knew that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a pure Vaishnava. "Today, I will introduce you to a most exceptional Vaishnava," said Mukunda, as he took Gadadhar Pandit to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi. They found Pundarik reclining on an opulent brass bed covered with red satin sheets, silk pillows, and topped with a three-tiered canopy. A gem-studded pan box stuffed with fragrant spices and betel nuts waited within arm's reach. Two shiny brass spittoons stood as silent sentries beside the bed. Seeing the mirror stained red from the chewing pan, Pundarik laughed heartily. Two servants cooled him with peacock fans. Two servants on either side. Was this a Vaishnava or a prince wallowing in luxury? Wondered. This was one. Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, who is this? Is this a prince or a Vaishnava? Who is this person? So doubts came in his mind about the spiritual status of Pundarik. He started doubting, who is this person? Reading his mind, Mukunda decided to reveal the highly exalted transcendental identity of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Mukunda recited Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.35. Always hankering to taste the blood of small children, Putana came to kill baby Krishna. However, because she offered her breast to the Supreme Lord, Putana attained the greatest blessing of being accepted as a mother of Sri Krishna. So this verse Mukunda recited this to Pundarik. You know. So now I will show you who is Pundarik. He recited this verse. Hearing this verse totally transformed Pundarik Vidyanidhi. A Ganges river of tears flooded from his eyes. Perspiration rained from his body. His hair stood erect. He ripped off his embroidered silk shirt, his kurtis, ripped it off, and wildly thrashed his legs about. Rolling on the ground, he wailed, "The Lord is infinitely merciful, yet he deprives me of his mercy." His clothes, the brass bread, the fine bedsheets, the mirrors, spittoons, all his opulence here were ripped to shreds, smashed to bits. 10 men tried, but couldn't restrain the force of his ecstasy. 10 men were there, trying to hold him down. The manifestations of Pundarik Vidyanidhi's pure love for Krishna competed with one another for some time. Different symptoms were competing with each other. They were fighting with each other. Who would dominate his person? You know? Fighting. The manifestations of... Finally, his spiritual emotions reached their peak and he lost external consciousness. He became unconscious. After witnessing this spectacular display of transcendental feelings, Gadadhar Pandit realized his offense in misjudging Pundarik Vidyanidhi to be a materialistic devotee. To rectify his mistake, he wanted to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. 6 hours later, Sri Pundarik returned to external consciousness. Now he seemed calm and composed. Happily, he initiated Gadadhar Pandit. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is Srimati Radharani's father in Braja pastimes. So he was actually this kingly thing, it was because he was a king. He was King Vrijabhanu. So he was another. So now you will get Krishna Prem. You'll get the treasure of love of God if you hear this. The spiritual master. And then last is, no, not the last. Sri Raghunanda Thakur appearance. So many. This is a short one. Being called away on medical business, Mukunda Das once asked his young son, Raghunandan, to offer the Raj Bhog to the family deity of Gopinath. Raghunananda prepared everything timely, carefully, and with great devotion. When he made the offering, he remembered his father's order, "Make sure the deity eats." Ringing the bell, the simple boy told the Gopinath deity, "Eat! Eat!" Raghunandan began crying when he saw the untouched food remaining on the deity's plate. He feared his father's anger for his inability to make the deity eat. Gopinath couldn't resist the child's intense devotion, so the Lord ate everything on the plate, leaving no remnants. Upon returning, Mukunda asked for Gopinath's Mahaprasad. Raghunandan said the deity ate everything. Astonished, Mukunda told his son to make the offering again. From a hidden place, Mukunda watched in total amazement as Raghunandan offered a laddu to Gopinath. But the Lord only took half a laddu. Mukunda understood that the deity only took half because he was still full from eating the lunch offering. Choked with divine emotion in appreciation of his pure devotee, son Mukunda embraced Raghunandan. Later in Jagannath Puri, Lord Gauranga lovingly he asked with love, Mukunda Das, who is the father and who is the son? This is a famous pastime. Who is the father and who is the son? He asked Mukunda. Mukunda replied, Raghunandan is definitely my father. Because he has given me Krishna bhakti and showed me pure Krishna consciousness. He is my father. And Krishna Lila Raghunandan is Kandarpa Manjari or Pradyumna of the Chaturvyuha. Raghunandan Thakur ki jai. Wonderful. You can remember these, try to remember during the day these great personalities. You will get great benefit. Last one, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. Born in a dynasty of Vaishnavas, Raghunath Das Goswami was the only son of a wealthy landowner. As a boy, he received Haridas Thakur's association and blessings. At 15, he met Lord Chaitanya. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he renounced a beautiful wife and an opulent family. He ran to Jagannath Puri to intimately serve Sri Gaura Roy and his Shiksha Guru Swarup Damodar Goswami for 16 years. Lord Gauranga gave his personal Govardhan Shila and Gunjamala to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das couldn't live after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, so he came to Vrindavan to end his life by jumping off Govardhan Hill. That was his idea, because he couldn't live without Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. As such was his devotion was so intense. Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis affectionately received him. They convinced him to live on and enlighten all the Brajabasi Vaishnavas with Sriman Mahaprabhu Puri pastimes. Because he was there for 16 years, he could explain all the pastimes. So he was like gold. He was very valuable to the Vaishnavas because he was a treasure house of these pastimes. So he was very, they convinced him, do not go, the Vaishnavas need this treasure house, give it to them. For 3 hours a day on the banks of Radhakund, he spoke about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das did Radha Krishna Bhajan at Radhakund for 40 years. He lived an austere life of pure devotion. Raghunath Das Goswami showed the standard of renunciation required to attain the eternal loving service of Radha Giridhari in the Nitya Nikunjak Leelas at Radhakund. His perfect example enthuses all Gaudiya Vaishnavas to develop unalloyed pure love for Radha Krishna. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami's daily bhajan included chanting 64 rounds, japa, 100,000 holy names, doing manasi seva in his spiritual body, worshipping Govardhan Shila, bathing thrice in Radhakund, offering 1,000 obeisances to Krishna, offering 2,000 obeisances to Vaishnavas and embracing them, resting 90 minutes, 1 hour and a half. And some days, not at all. Keep in mind, however, when an eternal associate of the Lord externally rests, internally he continues serving. He ate only one leaf cup, 100 grams of buttermilk daily. Srila Prabhupada explains that every other day he would take the buttermilk. Some days he would not take. Throughout his life, he never ate anything for sense gratification. He took the bare minimum to keep body and soul together. It's said that after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, Raghunath Das ate only fruit and milk. After Sri Sanatan Goswami Pad left, he existed on a leaf cup of buttermilk every day or two. And when Sri Rupa Goswami entered Nitya Lila, Raghunath gave up all eating and drinking. He was slowly burning in the fire of separation from the Lord and His loving servants. The Brajbasis would cry upon seeing his weakened condition, because he was very dear to them, so that he was withering away. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami wrote three books, Stavavali, which contains Manakshisha, Vilapa Kushamanjali, and more, Mukta Charita, Dhanakeli Chintamani. In Jaiva Dharma, Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda said, Raghunath Das Goswami showed the esoteric method of engaging oneself in the loving service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Raghunath Das wrote and taught that the divine service of Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan is the topmost spiritual perfection. For this he was known as the Prayojana Acharya, the teacher who reveals the highest fulfillment in life. Raghunath Das Goswami clearly established the supremacy of Srimati Radharani. In Vilapa Kushamanjali, a collection of intimate prayers, he states that Sri Radha's service is the highest attainment. Feeling extreme impatience and hopelessness due to separation from the queen of his life, he desperately prays for Radharani's service. He says, "My life is worthless. I will give it up without receiving your mercy. Living in Radhakund and Vrindavan is meaningless to me. To say nothing of Vrindavan, even Krishna himself, is useless to me without you. O Srimati Radharani, you are the only object of my life. Please be merciful to me." Crying profusely in great lamentation, I hold your lotus feet to my heart and beg for your loving service. May this Vilapa Kushamanjali bring even the slightest satisfaction to you. Sri Raghunath Das serves Sri Radha as Rati Manjari in Sri Vrindavan Dham. His samadhi is at Radhakund and at the 64 samadhis area. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada also explains that he was so intensely, he had such an intense desire to stay and go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the mother, of course, Raghunath was very dear to his family and everyone. So his mother, out of love, she said, maybe we should get some shackles, iron shackles, and shackle him. Because he's always wanting to go, he's always escaping, going away. So at this point, he had already been, they had already married him to a very beautiful wife. So his father says, "You crazy woman. He has the most heavy shackles. He has a beautiful wife. If this shackles of the beautiful wife will not hold him, how this iron shackles will stop him?" He said like this. So much determined was Raghunath Das Goswami. Nothing would stop him from his devotional service. You know. A very important point about determination in devotional service. So that I won't be criticized, let us... Srimad Bhagavatam. Is there a book? He didn't speak to Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam class, you know, Maya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yan Upajaushananam Na Kadachit Api Prajanam Bali Palito Klama Sveda Daurgandhya Jaramaya Mrityu Shitoshna Vaivarnyo Parasargadayas Vaivarnyo Pasargadayas
tapa
vishesha bhavanti yavach jivam sukham ninatishayam eva
yan,
which all the products produced because of the flowing rivers mentioned above. Apajushananam, of persons who are fully utilizing. Na, not. Kadachit, at any time. Api, certainly. Prajanam, of the citizens. Bali, wrinkles. Palita, gray hair. Klama, fatigue. Sveda, perspiration. Dhauragandhya, bad odors because of unclean perspiration. Jara, old age. Amaya, disease. Mrityu, untimely death. Shita, severe cold. Ushna, scorching heat. Vaivarnya, fading of the luster of the body. Upasarga, troubles. Adaya, and so on. Tapa, of sufferings. Vishesha, varieties. Bhavanti, are. Yavat, as long as. Jivam, life. Sukham, happiness. Niratishayam, unlimited. Eva, only. Translation. The residents of the material world who enjoy the products of these flowing rivers have no wrinkles on their bodies and no gray hair. They never feel fatigue, and perspiration does not give their bodies a bad odor. They are not afflicted by old age, disease, or untimely death. They do not suffer from chilly, cold, or scorching heat, nor do their bodies lose their luster. They all live very happily without anxieties until death. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So due to my jara, the pain I'm suffering from my leg, I will. Okay. Let's see what Prabhupada has to tell us. And these purports explain to us about these verses. So all these verses, which we can sit and speculate what they mean, but Prabhupada will explain to us what the meaning is. Then we can try to understand. This verse hints at the perfection of human society, even within this material world. The miserable conditions of this material world can be corrected by a sufficient supply of milk, yogurt, honey, ghee, molasses, food grains, ornaments, bedding, sitting places, and so on. This is human civilization. Ample food grains can be produced through agricultural enterprises, and profuse supplies of milk, yogurt, and ghee can be arranged through cow protection. Abundant honey can be obtained if the forests are protected. Unfortunately, in modern civilization, Men are busy in killing the cows that are the source of yogurt, milk, and ghee. They are cutting down all the trees that supply honey. And they are opening factories to manufacture nuts, bolts, automobiles, and wine instead of engaging in agriculture. How can the people be happy? They must suffer from all the misery of materialism. Their bodies become wrinkled and gradually deteriorate until they become almost like dwarfs, small. And a bad odor emanates from their bodies because of unclean perspiration resulting from eating all kinds of nasty things. This is not human civilization. If people actually want happiness in this life and want to prepare for the best in the next life, they must adopt a Vedic civilization. In a Vedic civilization, there is a full supply of all the necessities mentioned above. Interesting. Om Jnanate Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopeshi Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshpare Pritabhanasute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vancha Kalpatruyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukunguru Divachalam Pungam Dangete Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shigurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hari Om Tat Sat Yanupajushananam Nakadat Kadachit Api Prajanam Bali Palito Klamasveda Daurgandhya Jaramaya Mrityushitoshna Vaivaranyo Pasargadayas Tapa Vishesha Bhavanti Yavaj Jivam Sukam Niratishayameva. Translation. Please repeat. The residents of the material world who enjoy the products of these flowing rivers have no wrinkles on their bodies and no gray hair. They never feel fatigue, and perspiration does not give their bodies a bad odor. They are not afflicted by old age, disease, or untimely death. They do not suffer from chilly cold or scorching heat, nor do their bodies lose their luster. They all live very happily without anxiety until death. So here it's explained about the situation of the denizens of the heavenly planets. Srila Prabhupada then explains what is the position of the opposite position of those in this material world who are not living in harmony with Mother Nature. So now we are seeing in the world so many difficulties. Global warming, this and that. So many things are happening. And this is due to an imbalance. Also we are seeing hunger in the world. Drought, hunger in so many places. It's not that Mother Nature does not provide sufficiently for everyone. But those who are in charge in human society of distributing this great wealth, they're simply because of greed and because each individual wants to exploit material nature on his own. There is scarcity in some places and overabundance in others. To such an extent that some places they throw away food. People consume more than they need, or don't consume and they throw away. Other places, they don't have anything to eat, they're starving. Some places in Africa. So these afflictions are there, the threefold miseries, also birth, old age, disease. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Shitoshna sukadukadha is explained in many places. Shitoshna sukadukeshu, three places in Bhagavad Gita specifically. It's explained about this. These miseries are there. But it's an interesting thing in this verse that even the denizens of heaven, they, at the end of the verse, the last part of the verse, it says, until death. So they also must die. And Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka. You may go to Brahma Loka, but still you have to repeat death. And we know with so many pastimes of the Lord, these great demons, they try to get some immortality. In the case of Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, they're trying to make some arrangement. Make me immortal, they asked to Brahma. But I am not immortal. How I can give you, I cannot give you something I don't have. I am not immortal. So in this way, in the material world, there are different grades of prisoners. In Paraguay, where we have our temple, I'm coming from Paraguay now, Paraguaya, the divine song. Paraguay, which is in the middle of South America. Sometimes we do some programs at prisons. So we go to the prisons, and we take prasad or we make prasad. So in these prisons you have different, I don't know if India also, but there are different levels of prisoners. There are the prisoners who may be wealthy, they have so much, so they can buy opulent situation, they have so many nice shops. And so this is in the first part. So the first program we did, we did in this, the nice part, you know, and there were not so many prisoners in this part. But they were living almost like on the outside. They had their shops there, they had people bringing in whatever they wanted, you know. And so they had some more nicer conditions, you know. So we cooked a feast there for them. One man, he came, one older, you know, more man, he was very nicely dressed. And I had him cut carrots for the khichdi I was making. I cut these carrots up. So he cut them up. And I asked, who is this? Oh, this is the big embezzler from the central bank. He has stolen millions of dollars. This is cutting up for Krishna. So there was another level. The next program we did, we went down further down into the lower part, you know, where the lower criminals were, you know. And we would pass through different other levels. Here were the crazy people. There were 3,000 inmates in this place. With 160, I think, were considered crazy. Everyone was put, you know. So they had different levels, you know. We were going down, down. So the last program was in the low level, you know. Low level there. Very dangerous. We would have, the guards would be around us so they wouldn't attack us, you know. But we did kirtan and we gave them prasadam. There was almost an uprising of the prisoners. They almost had an uprising. Because some of them because they had a line for receiving prasadam. Some of them were cutting into the line because they thought there wouldn't be enough prasadam for them. So they were almost had a big uprising because of this, of their desire to take prasadam, which was good, you know, I think. The great desire to take prasadam. But in this way, there are different levels, you know. So maybe sometimes, and you see sometimes that people have the nice situation in the prison, but not so as good outside. They have some business inside, they're making money, everything, their meals are there. So they're thinking, why should I leave like this? So the first thing in spiritual lives is to understand that we are in the prison house. We are afflicted by these miseries. Birth, old age, disease and death are there. And somehow or other we have to get out of this temporary material suffering. You know? No one goes to the pharmacy and says, give me some pill to give me typhoid fever. Or, oh, give me a pill for malaria today. No. Because we don't want to suffer. No one wants to suffer. So it is good in the prison house if a prisoner suffers, because he'll want to reform. So the process of reformation means to somehow or other get a pardon. And in US, other places, the governor sometimes gives pardons, other officials, president gives pardons to people. But it's not only necessary that you become reformed, but you have to convince someone that you have become reformed. And that person is the person who goes to the governor and says, this person is reformed. So we need this connection. That's why it's so important to accept a bona fide spiritual master. Because that person, that tattva-darshi, who has darshan of the governor, or Krishna, he can help us. Hey, he has become reformed. Let him go. Help him, please. Give him your mercy. So we need to get that person, somehow or other. Find that person who will give you his mercy, and you will get Krishna's mercy. Yasya prasadhu, Bhagavat prasad. This is the process. So Prabhupada describes here an ideal world where abundance is there. And all you need is Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is a practical means to produce harmony in society. Just to give you an example, Bhakti Bhushan Swami Maharaj was just visiting us in Paraguay. And he's GBC for Costa Rica. You know, Costa Rica is one of the Central American countries. So we have a temple. Shishi Gornatai is being attended there. Small, a family attends. So this one day, someone brings as a gift a small calf, female calf, brings it to the devotees, as a present. Gives this calf. Please take care of it. So the devotees, in a very lovingly way, they take care of the calf. They love the calf. And she grows and grows and grows the calf. With all this love, and anyone who comes also pets and loves her, kisses. They all love the calf so much, you know. So the calf grows and grows, as it would happen. And of course they are feeding her so much prasadam, so much milk, so many things, nice things. And the calf grows and she becomes a cow. Then, miraculously, on her own, she starts giving milk. No calf. She starts giving milk. Because of the love. Because of the love that the devotees were giving. She starts giving milk. So it became like a miracle in this town. Everyone is coming to visit the calf that has not had a child. So how is it that she's giving milk? So everyone is coming to pet her, to take her darshan. She's our best preacher now, this cow. She's giving milk, you know, because she's satisfied. with the love that the devotees are giving love, so she's satisfied. So just see, what can a devotional society produce for everyone? They don't have to kill the cows. They're killing because they think it is another expense. I will have to feed this kid. Even if she's not giving milk, I will have to feed her. So they make the numbers, you know. Number crunchers, you know. Oh, no, no. So this way, society, it's a practical way that there can be harmony in society. So it's practical. It's not impractical. And practically speaking, so many things are being caused by this imbalance in human society. We're over-dependence on petroleum products, taking oil out of the earth without any understanding of what will happen. But if you take oil out of the car, you have a car, what will happen when you have a leak in the engine and the oil comes out? What happens? Anybody a mechanic here? Any mechanic? What will happen with the engine? It will seize. It will overheat and it will seize. That means all the metal becomes fused together and it ruins. But it overheats. What do you call this overheating? Global warming, we call it. Taking the lubricant from the earth, you know. Not that it's no consequence, you know. So Krishna consciousness means a society where everyone lives in harmony with all living creatures. Amanina manadena. Devotee, he respects all other living creatures. Therefore, he can live in harmony with them. He can live in harmony. He's the only one who can have this symbiotic relationship. That's a symbiotic, you know. This symbiotic relationship. He's the only one. He's the only one who knows how to, because he is accepting that above all living entities and within every atom is the Supreme Personality of God. So he has this vision like that. He doesn't discriminate, you know. He sees this, he feels this. No. So this is what Prabhupada is explaining in the purport about an ideal human society and how humans can actually be peaceful. No? Even knowing about this, gyatva mang shantim richati, produces a very tranquil person. Yeah? Not the agitated kunt, agitated anxiety of the material world, but vaikunt. That is where we want to go, to vaikunt. Giving up the kunt of the material world, the anxiety of the material world. Prabhupada also explains that once you accept Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the Lord of all, of everything, and the friend of all living entities, then you will be peaceful. That's Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaran yage tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mangshantam ichyate. So that is our goal. That is the path of harmony. And that is the way we will be practically in a peaceful condition, you know, out of anxiety. Of course, as we have a material body, as long as we have a material body, there will be some suffering. But as you become more Krishna conscious, absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, his activities, his name, his instructions, as you become more absorbed in these things, fully absorbed, as in relation to how intense is your devotion to Krishna, the other material sufferings will decrease. And they will be not important anymore. So, thank you for receiving us. We've been away for 1 year now to get our association of all the Mumbai devotees to get their recharge our batteries, as we say, to get association with devotees. Prabhupada explains that the association of devotees and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya said, the only thing is Krishna and the Vaishnavas. That's only really exists. So somehow or other we've come to get your mercy here for a few days and off to Mayapur to serve you further in our GBC meetings. Somehow we're doing some service for the devotees. So if there are any questions, comments, corrections. Here's a correction here.
Prabhuji, no, this is not directly connected to the sloka and the class, but you spoke about Costa Rica and you spoke about, and you're from Paraguay, but Prabhuji, you are also in Peru, Lima, and there is that video where Hanumat Prasakswami and you are there, and that amazing story of the Radha Madhana Bihari deities from Vrindavan that Prabhu is explaining in the film there, amazing, unbelievable story. The donated money from Santiago, Chile, $1,600 being equal to the...
You saw the movie?
Yeah, can you please tell us?
Okay. Well, I'm also part of my GBC responsibilities in Peru, so, and in Bolivia. And we have the only Vedic temple in all of South America is in Peru. And there are very beautiful deities, Radha Madan Bihari, similar, Radha Rasa Bihari, Madan Bihari, close. And they're very beautiful Radha Krishna deities. Also, just like here, Nitagore, Radha Krishna, and then Sita Ram Lakshman. They also have there, in a very nice Vedic temple. So these are very beautiful deities. He's referring to one movie that we, that Hanumat Prasak Swami did. I don't know if any of you have seen this movie about the deities there. I play a supporting role in in this movie. And therein it explains about how the deities had came there, you know. That they were first offered to the temple president in Vrindavan, but he said, but I have no money, I can't buy them. He couldn't buy them. Then he went back to Peru and he simultaneously, at the same, he received one letter from the devotee who had offered to him in Vrindavan, telling him that the deities were already in U.S. and if he wanted to still get the deities. And if he wanted them, he would have to pay $1,600. So one letter is like this. Then at the same time, one devotee from Chile, he had received some inheritance and he wanted to give a donation. So he comes with another envelope and he gives to the devotee the other envelope. So he opens the envelope up. In the envelope is $1,600. So he knew at that point that what his goal was to... Krishna wanted him to bring these deities to Peru. So that's how they came. So Krishna makes arrangements. Sometimes we think, well, how will this happen? But Krishna makes... If he wants to do something, he will make his own arrangement. He will make... He's God. He can do it. He can do it, you know. Now Peru is very successful, a lot of book distribution there. We are also in Paraguay, a lot of book distribution, pushing book distribution. Everyone is going out. So many books are being distributed. We are emphasizing this. We were a little discouraged. There should be more book distribution here in Mumbai. I was a little discouraged. How is it that the Mumbai devotees are not distributing more books? What's happening? Why not more books are going out? I was surprised. Maybe someone can explain to me later on. Finished. My wife tells me the time is up. I don't know. Any more questions? wants to take prasadam? Prabhupada said that the only sense gratification that devotees really have is prasadam. So it must be nice. It's the only sense gratification they have. So it should be very nice. This is a message to our leaders. Do you hear? Anyway, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.